We're getting ready for the ministry of the Word this morning. The title of my message is One Step Away. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for the moving of your Holy Spirit this morning in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. We just ask you, Father, to open up our hearts to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your river update, there is a message outline inside of it. And now I can hear. Hallelujah. Max Lucado said this. If there are 1,000 steps between us and God, he will take all but one. He will leave the final one for us. The choice is ours. One step away. Yeah, let's give the Lord a praise. One step away. And tell your neighbor, the choice is yours. As I thought about this message, I was reminded of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And so we're going to take a look at that story this morning. Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. And we're going to begin reading in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And just to set the background for the story, Jesus was visiting Jerusalem, and Jesus was totally committed to living under the law and meeting the requirements that were set forth in the law. And anyone that lived within a 20-mile radius of Jerusalem was required to report themselves, present themselves in the house of the Lord for the festivals. And this is what he was doing. And so as we begin reading, the scripture says, if you'd like to read it with me, after there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water and then stepped in first. After the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, the name Bethesda means house of mercy. That word Beth means house. So Bethesda is house of mercy. You've probably heard the word Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. And so this was a place where miserable people gathered around this pool. They were sick, they were lame, they were paralyzed, and they were just laying there waiting for the angel to come and stir that water so that they could get into the water and be healed. Can you imagine the excitement that happened when the water began to stir? It's interesting because there is a story in history, and of course, I don't know if this is true or not, but it says that this water never stirred in this pool until after Jesus had passed by this pool when he was a young child. And so you gotta kind of wonder, you know how kids run off and they play in the water? If he was walking along with his mom and he saw that pool and he ran over and he began to do this in it, you know? So I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds like something a little boy 5 years old would do, run over and put his hand in the water. But he was the Son of God, so when he began to stir the water, something began to happen. And God began to send an angel down to stir that water, and people would get into that water to be healed. So it's interesting, Jesus went to the place where people were sick and miserable. Aren't you glad? He doesn't leave us in our misery. He's not afraid to be around sick people. He's not afraid to be around people who are miserable. God will come right there where you are to meet with you. Hallelujah. Let's read on and see what happened with this man. John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps before me." So Jesus knew of this man. He knew he had been laying there and had been in this condition for a very long time, which means Jesus had probably visited this place before. And he remembered the condition that this man was in. And it's interesting because Jesus asked him the question, "Do you want to be made well?" But did you notice that the paralyzed man, he never answered the question? The paralyzed man was focused on himself and the stirring of the water. He really didn't hear what Jesus was saying to him. Instead, he complained and he made an excuse. He blamed somebody else that he was in the condition he was in because nobody would help him get to the water. So he had this excuse rather than answering the question, "Do you want to be made well?" So the man did not recognize Jesus as a solution to his problem. He had his own agenda. His plan was to get in the water when the water stirred. And you can relate this into your own life. Sometimes we don't look at God or Jesus Christ as the solution to the problem or the situation that we're facing. Sometimes we look every place else, but we don't go to God with what is bothering us or what is going on in our life. We don't see him as the answer to the problem. But we can figure out in our own minds everything we're going to do to solve our problem. We make plans, right? I mean, we all do that. We make plans. We have our own agenda. But my question to you today is, if you want to be made well, if you want to be made whole, if you want to get out of the rut that you're in, if you want to get out of the place that you're stuck, then you're going to have to go to Jesus Christ because he has the solution to your problem. There is nothing that is too hard for God to do. There is no problem too difficult for God to solve. And in the midst of the misery and the pain and the struggle and the sickness, Jesus Christ is with us. Every step of the way. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want Jesus Christ to intervene in your situation? Are you willing to let go of the control that you have? Are you willing to surrender? Because Jesus has taken all these steps to get right next to you, and the last step is your choice. We choose. Choose this day. It's not a one-time deal. It's not a one-time deal. It might be 100 times during the day that you make a choice. That you step towards God instead of stepping towards that temptation. Come on, the enemy is after us. He came to tempt us, to steal from us, to destroy us, and he sets us up to fail. We gotta be wise to what is going on. Because we've got to say no to the devil and say yes to God. Come on, many, many times a day we've got to do that. Many times a day. This is a journey. Things can change in an hour. You probably saw my post on Facebook, Brother Terry Kuhn, who is the author of Lifting Up Leaders' Hands. He came and taught a Wednesday night group here. He and his wife, Nikki, they raise shelties. They have show dogs. They run a school of ministry. Just a wonderful couple. And just out of nowhere, she had a heart attack, had blood clots in her lung, and she did not make it. She passed from this life. She was a nurse getting ready to retire in a few months. Just like that. She was one step away from eternity to forever be with the Lord. Now, our heart aches and we mourn with Terry. But she has passed from this life to the next life. One step away. You see, we do not know what the next hour holds for us. We can live our life thinking we're gonna last forever. But we're not. We all know that. God has an appointed time. We've got an appointment with the Lord. You know that. We don't know when it is. But God's got it written on his calendar. Because when you were born, he counted out the number of days that you would be alive. He already knew that. So our appointments are set. We never know when they're going to come. We're one step away from meeting Jesus Christ face to face in eternity. For some people, that's really exciting. For others, they're like, oh, I don't know. I have a few things to repent of before I take that journey. One step away. But whatever you're going through today, just like the man, for 38 years, he had laid in that spot. People taking care of him, obviously. To survive 38 years as paralyzed, you would have to have somebody helping you out in some way. And Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Let's go on and finish out this story. John 5, 8 through 9. Jesus said to him, if you'd read it with me, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. So Jesus had a plan to heal the paralyzed man. And the man did what Jesus asked him to do. Can you just even imagine 38 years you were paralyzed and could not walk? And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And you could walk. Can you imagine the excitement that must have been in this guy to actually be able to stand on his feet, to actually have the strength to pick up a mat and walk? Come on. When God moves in to a situation, he takes care of every detail. That man picked up his bed and he began to walk. On the Sabbath. Jesus met the man right in his place of misery. And totally, tell your neighbor, totally. He totally turned the situation around just like that. Totally turned it around. You see, in the midst of your misery, in the midst of your pain, Jesus can totally turn your situation around just like that. It just takes one word from the Lord. We've been studying hearing the voice of God and obeying what He's telling us to do. The man obeyed. If he would have just laid there, then he would have continued to be paralyzed. But he began to move. He began to sit up, probably fold his legs up, and stand to his feet. Can you imagine the people that were laying around him were probably looking and going, hey, that guy didn't get in the water. He's not even wet. He didn't get in the water, but look at him. He's totally made whole. And you know what? That man didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't know him. Let's read on. The next verses tell us that. John 5, 10 through 13. The Jews, therefore, said to him who was cured, it is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. You see, the house of Bethesda was the house of mercy. But the Jews who kept the law were not very merciful. They're like, you can't be carrying your bed. It's the Sabbath. You can't do that on the Sabbath day. You're breaking the law. And they were so fixed on the law that they were unable to accept the miracle that Jesus just did. Jesus had a reputation of doing things on the Sabbath that they didn't agree with. There were other situations that they didn't agree with Jesus. His disciples picked some corn on the Sabbath. Got in trouble for that. But this is what happens when legalism moves in. Legalism is harsh, it's cruel, and it's judgmental. The man was in the house of mercy. And Jesus was there to extend His mercy. You see, when we come into the house of the Lord, this is a house of mercy. It's a house of grace. It's a house of forgiveness. It's a place where you can come to God and you can pour your heart out to Him. You know, when legalism moves into religion and has all of its rules and regulations and you don't do it just right, it's judgmental, it's mean. And so many people have been hurt by religion because they thought they were doing what was right and then somebody knocked them down. You know, there are some things that the Holy Spirit just needs to teach people, and we need to be quiet and pray. Amen. Amen. Amen? Because God will help them figure it out. I often tell people, you may have a word for somebody, and you may know something, and you may want to go to them and instruct them with that word. But you better pray, because God may have given you that word so you begin to pray so that the Holy Spirit speaks that word to them. Because when God tells you, there's something about it when you hear it from God yourself. Your mama can tell you, but when you hear God telling it to you, It's two different things. Your father can talk to you and instruct you. And we should obey the instructions from our fathers. But when our heavenly father begins to talk to us, there's something that penetrates every single fiber of our being that resonates in us and begins to shake things loose that will cast them aside, that will stop doing what we're not supposed to be doing, and we'll get on track. They were so legalistic. They could not even be happy for the man that was healed. Now, that is pretty pathetic. That this guy's been paralyzed for 38 years and the religious folk could not get happy about that because he was carrying his bed around. You know, you would think that they would have thrown a party for the guy, right? But they didn't. So sometimes we can get stuck in our misery, stuck in our own pool. But as Jay sang this morning, Jesus is right there. He is one step away with his arms wide open for us to come to him. He's right next to us, no matter what's going on in our lives. If you've received him as your Lord and Savior, he's right inside of us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And he wants to move us into his plans for our life. And you know what? There are some religious folks that may not like that. But God has a plan for your life. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and we believe it in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. It is the confession of our mouth and believing in our heart. Confessing with our mouth. We're going to talk about it. We're going to tell people about it. God delivered me out of my misery. God healed my body when I was sick. God has helped me in my situation. Because I believe in my heart, he is the Son of God. He is able to heal us today. He is able to heal today. Like the paralyzed man, we can get our eye on objects. We can have our focus on, well, if I just get this job, then I'm going to make more money, and then I'm going to be happy. Or if I can just get to this doctor, I know I'll be healed. Or if I can just drive this car, which by the way, yesterday I looked in my rearview mirror and there was a Rolls Royce behind me. I'm like, wow. Yeah, that's right. Of course, I was over close to Greenleaf Boulevard, so it probably came out of one of those garages. But you can think if I could just have a Rolls Royce, I'd really be somebody. I'd really be something if I just had a car like that. And they are pretty. But that's not the answer. You know, you get a car, you get a house, you get another job. You know, people get a job, they're so excited about the job, and they're not even 6 weeks into the job, and the honeymoon's over, and they hate the job. And they hate the people that work there. They just want another job. That happens. You get a car and you're parked in the parking lot and somebody comes out and goes, with their keys and keys you. Things happen. Nothing in this world is going to last. The only thing that is going to last is our relationship with God and our relationship with fellow believers. We get to spend eternity together. So you better like each other. Because tell your neighbor, you're stuck with me. We'll be together forever. And we want to add to that so other people are in eternity with us. Amen. But the house of the Lord is a house of mercy. We come and we present ourselves to the Lord. And we have mercy. We find mercy and grace at His throne. This morning we'd like to take some time. I'm going to ask the elders and the prayer team, if they'll just come on up. We would like to pray for people this morning. If our elders and prayer team can come up and just position yourself where people can get to you for prayer. I'm going to ask Aaron if he'll put on some prayer music just for the next 10 minutes. It's only 11:35. It's only 11:35. Laura, would you come on up? Thank you, Lord. And if you have a prayer need this morning, would you come on up and ask for prayer? Jesus is here to heal. He is here to heal. There's nothing too difficult for our God to do. So let's just stay in a prayerful mode. Father, we thank you for your healing power this morning. I heard the Spirit say, if you feel like you're stuck somewhere, like you're in a rut and you just can't get out of this rut, God wants to lift you up out of that. There is a miracle working power here this morning. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He's stirring the waters at River of Life this morning. He is stirring the waters to heal us, to draw us closer to Him. Every barrier and obstacle, Lord, that is standing in the way of each one of these people, Lord, that are coming for help, for healing. Lord, we thank you that you remove those obstacles in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Can you thank him this morning? You see, we're all a part of the body ministry. So we thank you, Lord, for your healing touch this morning for each one of these people, Lord, who have come forward this morning. Thank you, Lord. You are the God who heals us from all of our diseases. The book of Exodus says, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord, we've got to hearken to it. This morning, the voice of the Lord is going out and he's calling us. He's saying, I am a God of mercy. I am a God of the impossible. Look at me. I have the solution that you need for the problem that you're facing. There is nothing too difficult for our God. There is nothing too difficult for our Lord. He is the God that heals us. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your Savior. He sends his word and he heals our disease. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Lord, we believe for miracles. We believe for turnarounds in these situations, Lord. There's somebody out there that's struggling financially, and the Lord wants you to come up and receive prayer. The Lord says, this is a turnaround time. This is a miracle time. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. I'm telling you, church, the water is stirring here at River of Life. There's a stirring in the Spirit tonight. Oh, my God. There is a stirring in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stir, oh God. Stir, oh God. Stir, oh God. Come on. You know what? We don't look at Jesus like we should look at him. He is the answer to our problem. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is the God that heals us. He is the God that delivers us. He is the God that sets us free. We thank you, Lord, that today you're breaking off chains. Lord, that your glory is in this house. And that the glory of the Lord is filling this place, oh God. Lord, and that you're breaking the chains off of people. All of the restrictions, oh God, that have been holding us back, Lord. I thank you that you're breaking off all of those restrictions in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're breaking the power of generational curses this morning. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You became a curse for us, oh God, and you are breaking the power of those generational curses, Lord, and setting us free. Lord, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we look to you this morning, Lord. We take our mind off of our problem, and we look to you. Lord, we look up into the hills where from whence comes our strength and where comes our hope. It comes from above. Lord, I thank you, Lord. We get our eyes off of the world and all of the problems that are in this world. Oh, my God, just cut us off from that entanglement of the world this morning, Lord. We look to you, Jesus, for our freedom this morning. We look to you, oh God, for our strength this morning. We thank you, Lord, that when you set us free, we are free indeed. Hallelujah. We are free to be all that God has called us to be. We are free to walk in the health that God has promised to us. Lord, make our bodies whole. Make our bodies whole. Deliver us, oh God. Deliver us, oh God, from every sickness and every disease. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is moving this morning. He's moving in these hearts. They come forward expecting, like the paralyzed man. They got up and walked this morning. They got up and walked to the front. They got up and walked to receive a touch from the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for healing and restoration, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.